Hi, welcome to The Deadline. I'm Laura, your host and founder of the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society. Welcome to our little podcast. How are you, Brian?
I'm doing well.
Good, good. We have some meeting announcements. I should point out that meetings always start at 7 and end at 8:30 p.m. And they're free and open to the public to attend. So if you are just wondering, like, should I join the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society, go to a meeting. Check us out. If you have some questionable pictures or recordings, bring them for the Share and Scare segment, and we'll help you out with that as well. Okay, next meeting up at bat is April 17th. That's the Northwest Division, headed up by myself. That's in the Community Center in Hackettstown, located at 293 Main Street. After that is the Northeast Division, headed up by Laura Lindemann in the Pagoda Recreation Center. That's on April 26th, and that's located at 162 West Main Street. And then on May 2nd, we have the Central Jersey Division meeting, and that is headed up by Gregory and Sherry Irish, and that's in the Hazlitt Library, located at 251 Middle Road. All these dates, times, places are smack dab front and center on the homepage of www.njghs.net. So, I know I talk fast, we're trying to conserve battery power because a certain producer forgot his cord for his laptop. So we are talking excessively fast, so if you miss anything, just check out the njghs.net website and you'll see it all there. Right, right.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, you know, a couple weeks ago, Brian, they finally discovered, like, what killed Anna Nicole Smith. And she had, like, the speedball cocktail of drugs in her system.
It's a government conspiracy.
Oh, I don't know about that, but this woman, I mean... They said she got a bacterial infection from injecting medication into her buttocks, and a viral infection contributed to her death, from the autopsy report.
I can think of other stuff to inject into her
buttocks. Now, she had chloral hydrate, which is a sedative used to treat insomnia, and alcohol withdrawal. Okay, so she's got that. And it relieves anxiety and eases post-surgery pain. She had been on several antidepressant and anti-anxiety drugs, and recently she was taking, like, longevity medications. What the hell is a longevity medication?
Oh.
I mean, come on. A little Ponce de Leon Fountain of Youth crap going on here, and the FDA regulates that? Then B12 and a growth hormone. So anyway, the detailed autopsy showed no evidence of disease.
Well, if anyone actually wants to read the full coroner's report,
yeah,
smokinggun.com, the whole
really?
Report is on there.
Okay, smokinggun.com?
The smokinggun.com.
Okay. Well, this woman's only 39.
Hot.
And she was gorgeous. And you got to give her credit. I mean, now, she's claimed she was the spokesgirl for Trim Spa. Okay, so Anna really blimped out. We all know that. She went through a little Porky Pig phase. And then she Trim Spa'd, supposedly. But, I mean, I kept watching her, and I'm like, I don't get it. You know, you had to have some kind of reconstructive stuff. Because when you're that fat and you go back to being that thin, you've got skin hanging. I mean, things that have to be nipped and tucked, and let's face it, you know. Anyway, so she went through all that, and then... You know, she was half out of her mind with losing her son, which is very tragic. And I think with all the drugs she pumped into her system, I heard a guy on the radio the other day, and he said, you know, with the amount of drugs and the combination, he said, because a lot of them, the ones that she was doing, are in the cocaine family. And he said she should have been dead long ago. He said he couldn't believe she had lived that long for how much stuff she was injecting. Anyway, I did see her on an Entertainment Tonight interview a while ago, and they were doing a clip on this. And she's like kind of, she was so like drugged out then. She's like leaning on the couch and almost like flirting with this guy and everything. And
lucky guy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she was beautiful. She really was beautiful. But, you know, she owned Marilyn Monroe's house, and you could see the kind of similarity, and, you know, with her being a blonde bombshell and Marilyn being a blonde bombshell and yada yada. Well, of course, Anna Nicole goes and buys Marilyn's house. Now, even though she was coming off as, like, very spacey and dopey in this interview, I think she had to have been on God knows how many drugs then. One thing I can tell you from all the years of paranormal investigating, when she described, she was trying to do, like, a Marilyn lookalike picture, you know, where they had done her up in her hair and makeup to look like Marilyn Monroe, in her house, which was Marilyn's house. And Anna Nicole was saying how the one picture, because there was this famous mirror or something, or I don't know, that it was like Marilyn did not want Anna to have her picture taken. And she goes, and she described it to this correspondent. She's like, you know, it was this white mist that just came right down in front of the picture. And it was like a ghost. Well, anyway, and I'm sitting there watching this, and I'm like, but you know what? As flaky as she is, she's got it right. I mean, she described basically an ectoplasmic mist or vapor, something. Could it, you know, honestly, I haven't seen the photo. I don't know where that is, but it would be nice to see, because was it a mist or was it a vortex that was forming? Right. And she just didn't know to call it a vortex, but she did say it was a white mist, and it blocked her out from appearing in the photo. And she goes, and I know that that was Marilyn's ghost, you know. And she also claimed on several occasions she would wake up and she could see Marilyn floating above her. Now, again, is it the drugs? I don't know. But, you know, I think given the whole house and everything being of Marilyn's, I would, you know, she said her son, Daniel, never liked to stay in that house because he would always say, like, this lady was there, or he would see her, or he was afraid. And so I wouldn't doubt that Marilyn is still haunting that place. So anyway, very interesting. It's sad for Anna Nicole. I mean, at least she's with her older son now, and I hope, have they come to any conclusion with the little baby girl?
No, I think a couple of the people, they've taken the DNA testing, so now they got to. I think Howard K. Stern still needs to give his DNA.
What is his problem? Why won't he just pony up the frickin' DNA and
because
be done with it?
Because he's not the father.
It's got to be. You know, I'm sorry, but that, who was the one that was really cute? Larry?
Yeah.
What's his name? Larry? I can't remember. Well, anyway, I was looking at him on an interview, and I'm like, he is so handsome. But you know what? When they took, they showed Anna holding the infant daughter, and they zoomed in on that baby girl's face. That nose and those eyes are Larry's. I could just see it. I'm like, you could tell he had more to do with this kid. I mean, Howard K. Stern, I'm sorry, the guy has got a beak. Now, there's no way. There's no way he is that beautiful baby. And now, and grant you, Anna Nicole was gorgeous, and she could probably compensate for, like, a, you know, the fugly gene that Howard would pass on and override it, but I could see how beautiful this baby is, and I looked at her nose and eyes, I'm like, that's Larry's. I mean, you can tell by looking at her. So I can't wait to see the results. I hope, you know, I hope I'm right. So let's go to commercial break.
Do you have what it takes to be a ghost hunter? Are you fascinated with the paranormal? Then why not take your interest to the next level and join New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society? For a $20 lifetime membership fee, you'll receive training on our cemetery hunts, get to participate on investigative teams for private investigations, and receive discounts on books we sell. Members also get the reduced rate on special events we offer throughout the year. You can PayPal right from the homepage of www.njghs.net or send your check or money order payable to Ghost Hunters to P.O. Box 8018, Parsippany, New Jersey 07054. Happy haunting.
Hey, we have a new contest. Now's your chance to win admission to the Ghost World Conference. You can attend the Ghost World Conference in July at Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. All you have to do is record yourself telling or reading your favorite ghost story or experience. This can be from a published work or from one of your own investigations. Now, you can be as dramatic and creative as you want. In fact, the more the better. We're not looking for the humdrum read here, people. Come on, it's a podcast after all. We need the story to come alive for the listeners. You're not allowed to make up a ghost story or experience. Again, you can tell one that you sincerely experienced or one that is published in a book or article somewhere that you claim is your favorite of all time. Don't worry if we receive the same story from more than one person. Again, your creative and dramatic approach to the telling of the story is what will win you the votes. That's right, votes. In keeping with the American Idol approach, we will let our listeners decide on whose story and its telling is the best, and therefore who deserves to go to Ghost World Conference. Submit your recording no later than May 15, 2007 to the deadline at njghs.net.
If the file is too big to email, then burn it off to a CD and snail mail it to The Deadline, P.O. Box 8018, Parsippany, New Jersey, 07054. Brian and I will review these recordings and play them on the show as well. We will narrow it down to the top five and place those recordings on the Deadline page of the NJGHS website for voting. The voting will be from June 1st to 15th and the winner announced on the June 22nd podcast. In addition to admission to the Ghost World Conference, the winner will receive an NJGHS gift basket, including a bumper sticker, t-shirt, baseball hat, and an autographed copy of The Ghosts of Gettysburg by Mark Nesbitt. Winner is responsible for all costs. This is including travel, lodging, meals, expenses incurred while at the conference. Basically, we get you there, people. That's it. Okay. A room will be held at the Ghost World Conference rate of $119 at the Wyndham Gateway Gettysburg, but the winner is responsible for payment of this cost. Even if you have already registered for the conference, you may enter this contest. If you win, your registration fee will be refunded to you by the NJGHS, and you will get the basket of goodies as specified prior. So get to it. Record your MP3 or WAV file and email it or snail mail it to The Deadline. All these details will be on the NJGHS.net website. Good luck.
The largest and most comprehensive ghost conference the paranormal world has ever seen is coming to Gettysburg July 20th to 22nd, 2007 at the newly constructed Wyndham Gettysburg Hotel and Conference Center. At this supernatural summit, it will be close to 3,000 square feet of space where the paranormal community will come together toward excellence in the field of study as well as establish standards and protocols in the science of supernatural research. Best-selling authors and paranormal presenters include John Zaffis, Mark Skuerman, Mark Moran, Jeff Belanger, Charles Ammons III, Troy Taylor, and Vince Wilson. Special event co-hosts will be none other than Mark Nesbitt, author of the Ghost of Gettysburg series. Ghost hunters, be prepared to shop the largest paranormal trade show with vendors of ghost hunting gear, authors and books, and other fascinating otherworldly goods. Register for one of the intensive workshops, take a ghost tour with Mark Nesbitt aboard a train, or tune into the dead with Jane Doherty, psychic medium. All details are at the Ghost World Conference website at www.ghostworldconference.com. Register online at the site www.ghostworldconference.com with PayPal, Visa, MasterCard, or e-check. Group discounts available for groups of 10 or more. Please email info@ghostworldconference.com for details. All sales are final. Ghost World Conference is a production of Ghost World LLC with sponsorship by X-Zone Radio.
Okay, welcome back to The Deadline. It's time for Parashares. But in lieu of Parashares this week, we are going to do some monster talk. So I'd like to start off with a discussion of our very own backyard garden state monster, the Jersey Devil. A good site to check out for information is www.njdevilhunters.com. I've taken some of their info, which I'm going to read to you, about the Jersey Devil, right from their site. Very good site. A storm was raging that night in 1735 when Mother Leeds was brought to bed in childbirth. The room was full of womenfolk gathered to help her, more out of curiosity than goodwill. They had all heard the rumors that Mother Leeds was involved in witchcraft and had sworn she would give birth to a devil. Tension mounted when at last the baby arrived. It was a relief and to some a disappointment when the child was born completely normal. But a few moments later, before their terrified eyes, the child began to change. The room erupted with screams as the child grew at an enormous rate, becoming taller than a man and changing into a beast which resembled a dragon, with a head like a horse, a snake-like body, and bat's wings. As soon as it was full grown, the monster began beating all the women, including its mother, with its thick, forked tail. With a harsh cry, it flew through the chimney and vanished into the storm. The Monster of Leeds, otherwise known as the Jersey Devil, as he later became called, still haunts the Pine Barrens of New Jersey, what we call the Pineys, wreaking havoc upon farmers' crops and livestock, poisoning pools and creeks, and appearing on the New Jersey shore just before a shipwreck. Now, yet. We're still talking about the Jersey Devil.
Sorry, I'm following your script.
It's a script, dude, but we've got to talk about this now. Anyway, Brian's very excited about the werewolves, so we'll get to werewolves, but that's the basic story. Some people say it's the 13th child that she had, and that apparently when you have the 13th, it's like the curse upon the 13th child, and that's what Mother Leeds gave birth to, and that's why it's like that. There was even a movie made, didn't do very well. Who was the guy that used to put the battery on his shoulder and say, "I dare you to knock it off," Duracell commercial years ago? Well, anyway, he stars in the movie of the Mother Leeds, the 13th child or something. See what a good memory I have? See, I can't remember his name, but I can remember that Duracell commercial.
Too bad your age.
He's like, "Knock it off, I dare ya," you know? He was like...
Never saw that one.
Oh, come on! All right, somebody will Google it and find it, I promise. Anyway, so the Jersey Devil, and they, you know... I'm trying to think. Didn't they even say they had done like a cleansing or some kind of spell to like an exorcism, but it would only last for 100 years? And then by like 1840, everybody started panicking again in the Pineys.
I think I remember something about that.
That it was going to come up. And then they started having sightings. Even I think sightings as late as the 1960s for the Jersey Devil. Where they were tracking it. Yeah, early 60s or late 50s, they were tracking it and having sightings and reportings and... Anyway, so check out njdevilhunters.com for all the gory details on the New Jersey Devil. And we even had the one gentleman, I forget his name, who was the author of the book. He co-authored a book, and he presented our New Jersey Ghost Conference a couple years ago on the Jersey Devil. I could run and get the book, but we want to just record right now. Anyway, so that's the Jersey Devil monster. I'm trying to think. Now we should move along to Brian's favorite.
Oh, does that mean I play it now?
Now you can play it.
Werewolf! Werewolf? Yeah. What? Werewolf! Bear Castle!
Yeah, I love that movie. Little young Frankenstein. But yeah, werewolves. Now, actually, we have... I live here in Hackettstown, and not too far out, a little past Columbia, they have a whole wolf reserve that you can...
They do?
Yeah, and people pay money, and they'll go out there and with their cameras, but like photographers who want to get beautiful like wolf pictures and the nature and all that. It's I think it's called the Lakota Wolf Preserve or something, but anyway... So I'm pretty close to like coming to the real deal here. So here's the deal. You know what? I have that movie, An American Werewolf in Paris. And in the movie, apparently if you get bitten by a werewolf but you don't get killed, you become a werewolf. It's like you're infected with it. Guess what? That is a modern day lie. That's just fiction. Because when you go back in time and you really look up werewolves and study them, that's not part of the deal. What was part of the deal, though, as a modern-day cure, another thing, that's another thing. You know how the old silver bullet would take out a werewolf? That's another modern-day fiction thing. It doesn't exist in any of the old texts.
So your honey was lying?
Who?
Your honey.
What honey?
On Supernatural?
He was falling victim to the script. Because that is a modern day thing where they say, oh, it's a silver bullet, takes them out. You know what? Not for nothing. I'd give it a shot. No pun intended. But, you know, what do you got to lose if you're being staring down this thing? Anyway, the werewolf really means man wolf. It's a person who may be cursed and therefore turns into a werewolf. And some people actually choose to become werewolves. And through magical rites and incantations and donning the skin of a wolf, like as in a belt, they can actually shapeshift into a werewolf. So some people actually choose to have this. There's this disorder called lycanthropy, which is a mental and nervous disorder, wherein the person exhibits the traits assigned to a werewolf, which are... howling, needing blood and flesh to eat, ooh, yummy, changes correlating to the lunar cycle, insatiable sexual lusts, running around on all fours, savage attacks on animals and people, exhaustion when the episode has passed.
Sounds like PMS.
Oh, God. Anyway, they say the silver bullet is one way to kill a werewolf, but it is a modern-day cure. It doesn't appear in the old text on the subject. Now, what's interesting is close to this monster is the less heard of were-dog from the Native American lore. Now, the story says that an Indian living along the shores of Great Bear Lake had a female dog who gave birth to 8 puppies. He would tie up the puppies to keep them safe when he left to go fishing. When he would return, he would hear the sound of children laughing from inside the tent where he tied the puppies up. When he would enter the tent, no kids, just the puppies. One day, he let them think he was going fishing and hid outside the tent. When he heard the children's voices, he rushed in to find 4 children with dog skins by their sides. He tossed the skins onto the fire, and the children were stuck in their human form. They are known as the ancestors of the Dog Rib Nation. Now, did you ever hear of that one?
Never heard that one.
Pretty cool, though. Things you find. So, I start researching on the whole werewolf thing, and, you know, and it led me to this were-dog thing, which then made me think, well, what about a Wendigo? Now, how is that different? Now, I know that's been on Supernatural, too. And, you know, Supernatural did hit on this pretty correctly. Wendigos are creatures that were once human.
Oh, I thought you drove those.
What?
Winnebago, Wendigo.
Oh, sorry. A little too, like, camping left field for me. I'm not a camper. Anyway, Wendigos are creatures that were once human. They were like hunters who were lost and forced to turn to cannibalism to survive, and that's what made them turn into Wendigos. From what I understand, they're described to be like 15 feet tall. They kind of look very like grayish, ashen, and sometimes almost like white, very reflective, but very like tall and almost what's the word, like when you're very like gaunt and sallow looking and like very shriveled in, they're not filled out, people, they're skinny.
Sunken in?
Yeah, sunken. And some people say they have like a star in their forehead. Here's the kicker. Its scream can paralyze its victim. Now, I bet my mother could rival the Wendigo because she had a scream that you would stand there thinking, just beat me. Okay? Just be so much less painful if you just beat me than that scream. Anyway, so its scream can paralyze its victim, allowing the Wendigo to rip out the victim's vital organs. One can become a Wendigo by being bitten by one. Aha. Now, here, I think, is where we got the modern-day screw-up with the werewolf, because the Wendigo, you can choose to become a Wendigo, and there are 2 ways to choose it, voluntary and involuntary. The involuntary is the one we just covered, where you're a hunter, you're lost in the woods, and it's like eat your best friend or die, so push came to shove, and you become this cannibal, and the cannibalism leads you to become a Wendigo. But then there are those who really say, in their right minds, which I really question that, want to go into the woods, strip naked, and say, here I am, Wendigo, come and bite me and make me one like you. And they will hang out, and if the Wendigo does bite them and sort of infect them, they will then, you know, kind of take them under their Wendigo wing, if it were, if they had one, and train them, and you become a Wendigo. You know. Now, let's see. Some people say, you know, I thought this was funny. Settlers in Minnesota saw the Wendigo as a death omen. I mean, if you see one, you are pretty much dead.
Yeah, so I guess they're right.
Yeah, you know, I mean, come on. Now, they do have a little caution. They say if you're attacked by one, throw excrement at it. You know, if I see one, odds are I'm going to soil myself anyway, so yeah, it's going to be ready and ripe for the hurling. You know? And supposedly, if you throw excrement at the Wendigo, it will confuse it enough to give you a chance to get away.
Oh, if someone was throwing excrement at me, I'd probably be confused too.
What the hell?
So, you know, it's like you're just going to be running for the nearest bowl of Charmin when making your big escape. Anyway, silver bullets are considered effective in killing the Wendigo, along with chopping its body into little pieces and burning them. Ketchup, anyone? It's a Wendigo barbecue.
Holy, that's great.
Yeah. Oh, I shouldn't be laughing. It's sick. But, yeah, so that's the Wendigo. So you could see where they screwed up with the werewolf thing, with being bitten by a werewolf and not being killed and you become one. It really is a Wendigo trait that happens. Okay, people?
All I know is that girl was hot on Supernatural. Whew.
The one with the werewolves this past week? Isn't she pretty?
Oh, my God.
Very natural, pretty. Not made up and overdone, just very pretty.
I'll be like, well, she's a werewolf, so what?
I know, you know. Some women get PMS. Mine just turns into a wolf once, you know, a month, you know. Hey,
out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah. And come on, what guy wouldn't want the insatiable sexual lust thing?
Exactly.
What? I mean, seriously. If a woman came to you and she said, look, you know, I like you, but I don't think you're going to like me because, you know, I'll tell you the truth, I'm a werewolf. And, you know, I have this high sexual drive and it's very high sex stamina and I need it, gotta have it. I mean...
We see, you just talk too far. I have a high sexual drive. That's all you should
say. And men would be like, okay, werewolf, whatever, you know.
I have to go out and kill someone every night to feed my bloodlust.
And it's not every night. It's only when the moon is full and the whole thing kicks in. The rest of the month, they're fine. So, I mean, you know.
Well, but the thing is, though, on Supernatural, when they tested her, it was a full moon and she didn't change.
I know, I think, because they had a way of explaining that. She was somehow able to suppress it long enough for that one night while they were there.
I said that she had to fall asleep for her to change.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there was some excuse, because somehow she managed to avoid it that night, you know.
Hey, well, then you just get a night job.
Anyway, so I can't see any guy in his right mind, like, having a problem with, you know?
Especially someone as hot as her.
Yeah, she's very attractive. So, now here's this other kind of mutant animal monster thing. It's called El Chupacabra. And the first time I heard of this... See, my Spanish is not only limited to Antonio Banderas, I can pronounce El Chupacabra. Now, that's about it. Now, years ago, I first came across this whole concept of this beast on the X-Files. And it was Agent Mulder who was telling Scully that he thought this was all the signs on this case of an El Chupacabra, you know, the goat sucker. That's what it means in Spanish, the goat sucker. Now, it's named because of the way it sucked all the blood from the Puerto Rican goats. The Chupacabra has been living... What? Oh, leaving fear in its tracks for many years now.
That's a prejudice thing.
What?
It's only Puerto Rican goats?
Well, that's where it got real famous and really started, was down in Puerto Rico, okay, when you research this. But the attacks have now spread, and the sightings of it to, you know, South America and Mexico, parts of the southwest of the United States, Texas. Texas had a big deal with this for a while there. And, anyway, the Chupacabra has reportedly attacked and devoured the blood of a wide variety of animals, including dogs and sheep. See, so it's not just goats.
So he has to change his name.
Well, you know what? Maybe he started out as a goat sucker and he's expanded his palate and repertoire at this point. He's moving north. He's like, well, you know, damn, I got to rid of all the Puerto Rican goats, you know.
Good candy and some fava beans.
Now, due to the distinct technique the strange animal has of killing its prey, it is very easy to tell if the chupacabra was involved in an animal's death. Animals are found with puncture wounds in their neck and most of their blood removed. Often the victim's organs have disappeared, even though the only wound is a small hole in the animal's neck. Reports of laser-like cuts on the victim's ears are also common. Although some people say they have seen the chupacabra's tracks, in many cases there are no signs of blood or tracks around the dead animals.
Well, at least he's a meat eater.
Oh, he's a carnivore, man. Big time. Now, his appearance, it's kind of hard to describe the appearance of the El Chupacabra because sightings greatly differ. Most say it is either gray or green. Some say it has a large, lizard-like tongue, and others say it has wings. A bipedal creature, one that stands upright like a human, the Chupacabra has had many sightings where its height was reported to be anywhere from 3 and 6 feet tall. Some say it walks, some say it flies, some say it has a kangaroo hop. Jesus, people, come on!
Maybe it's all of them.
All of the above, sir. Anyway, and where did it come from? So, a lot, now this cracks me up. Because people, a lot of times when they draw the pictures of El Chupacabra and they say this is the head of one and they show the big fangs and these huge eyes, the eyes are big and black and kind of almond-shaped, just like an E.T. Okay, so one theory with the El Chupacabra is that it's an alien life form that is still on this planet. And that's why it's doing this. So I find that really fun. But anyway, many say it's a new species or a relative to the panther. More eccentric scholars say it's a dinosaur or an alien. Another theory is that there is a portal to another dimension that stretches from Puerto Rico to South America.
It's one hell of a portal.
It's called immigration, people. And it's right on the border of, like, Texas and New Mexico. No. But yeah, so they're saying it's one hell of a portal with this thing. The other theory is an alien spacecraft contained El Chupacabras as pets for study, and they somehow escaped during an accident or a crash.
Just we need more illegal aliens.
Yeah, really. So there you have it. You know, some interesting monster talk, and I hope you've enjoyed it. And now, a commercial break.
Hi, I'm Scott L. of Ghostly Talk Paranormal Talk Radio, and you're listening to Deadline Podcast of the New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society.
Do you have what it takes to be a ghost hunter? Are you fascinated with the paranormal? Then why not take your interest to the next level and join the New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society? For a $20 lifetime membership fee, you'll receive training on our cemetery hunts, get to participate on investigative teams for private investigations, and receive discounts on books we sell. Members also get the reduced rate on special events we offer throughout the year. You can PayPal right from the homepage of www.njghs.net or send your check or money order payable to the Ghost Hunters to P.O. Box 8018, Parsippany, New Jersey 07054. Happy haunting.
Hi, it's time for Haunted Trivia. Now, last week you were Mary Morris's ghost is said to be seen to this day rocking the cradle in the tapestry room of... And the answer is Speke Hall. S-P-E-K-E Hall. It's a building that is located near the Liverpool Airport.
Oh, I thought there was a Brother Arsenio.
No. This week's Haunted Trivia has a skill level of challenging. Now, gremlins were first documented by pilots of the British Royal Air Force during World War I. They gained notoriety during World War II and were even credited by Charles Lindbergh himself for having their help during his historic 1927 transatlantic flight. These entities seem to fall into the category with gnomes, trolls, and sprites. What famous literary work does the term gremlin first appear? Be the first person to provide that literary work as the answer by emailing that correct answer to hauntedtrivia@njghs.net, and you'll win the Junior Ghost Hunters t-shirt. How about that?
Nice. Very nice.
Okay, and don't forget, people, to check out www.ghostworldconference.com. You can still register for $115 per person up until April 15th. After that, it goes up to $130. The last day of registration will be June 15th, and the last day of registration for the $85 buddy rate is April 30th. And you have to email me, Laura H, at njghs.net. Laura, L-A-U-R-A, not L-O-R-A. I can't believe some people spell it that way. But no, I'm the traditional L-A-U-R-A, H, and
www.ghostfest.net, and I will verify your membership on the New Jersey Ghost Town Society and send you the special link so you can register for $85. Right, Bob? Bob is here right now. Bob, say something. Now he shuts up. Don't you love it? He's been, like, sitting here and monitoring the show. But anyway, so Bob is here. Hi, Bob. Now, if you are a member of the NJGHS, you can also register for the Fort Mifflin All-Nighter Tour that we'll be doing. That's going to be Saturday, August 18th at Fort Mifflin, and details will be uploaded on the NJGHS.net website, so you can register online with PayPal, with MasterCard, and Visa. It is $60 for NJGHS members and $80 for non-members, which will include your membership going forward. And we will be putting together our cemetery hunt, so stay tuned to the NJGHS.net website for all that good stuff. And if you haven't done so, right on the homepage, you can register for our Yahoo groups, and that way you'll get all the news blasts that come out when I'm updating things and reminding you to vote. And that's right, it's a new month. We forgot to remind people last week.
That's because it wasn't a new month.
Oh, yeah, it was just getting to clock into it that we should have reminded them. But I'm reminding you now. Go to podcastalley.com, search for The Deadline, our show, and vote for us.
Probably
okay?
Deadbeats vote.
No, you know what? People have been leaving comments, and I'm really pleased.
Oh, you leave comments, but you won't send any power shares.
Well, baby steps, Brian, baby steps. We're getting there. Can't happen overnight. But really, I thank you for your votes and your comments and, you know, anything you want to share. You know, to help make it a better show or more of what you want to hear of, let me know. You can always email thedeadline@njghs.net. But definitely vote for the show on podcastalley.com because the ranking really helps. And we stayed in the top 200 for the month of March.
Out of what, like 3,000?
Out of 3,000. So that's not bad. And so, you know, I don't know if we'll ever hit the top 10 again. But people, I mean, if you vote, it really makes a difference. So, you know, log in to podcastalley.com and vote for The Deadline. I'd really appreciate it. And again, don't forget to join our Yahoo group so you do get all the latest, greatest info. Thanks again to Brian Sant, the NJGHS technician and producer of The Deadline.
Hail to the king.
And our team leaders, Gregory and Sherry Irish and Laura Lindemann. And Don Slepian of DonSlepian.com for our theme song, The Dance of the Dead. And, of course, thanks to you for listening. Keep downloading the shows weekly because at some point in life you have to meet the deadline.